إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers, I want to remind myself and you about a matter which seems to every once in a while we need reminders, of course, and that is the issue of eating halal, of earning halal and eating halal. This is such a critical matter for two reasons. First of all, because this is one of the questions of the Day of Judgment, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the feet of the son of Adam will not be able to leave the Maidan of Hashar until he answers four questions. And one of those questions is, where did you earn your living from and where did you spend it? So eating and earning halal is one of the questions of the Day of Judgment. And if we cannot answer it, then we are in the hellfire. So it is something as serious as that. And in the dunya also, eating and earning and eating halal is something which affects our ibadat, it affects our dua. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah does not accept the dua of somebody whose income and whose food is haram. A man came and he was making dua in Masjid al-Nabawi and he was saying, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. He had his hands up like that and he was making dua. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he knew the people. So he looked at the man and he said, his food is haram, his earning is haram, his clothes are haram, how will Allah accept his dua? So Rasulullah ﷺ said that the dua of the person who earns and eats haram is not accepted. Now, two major areas where we seem to foul up. One is in the issue of interest earnings. Countries, Muslim countries are making this mistake, Muslim individuals are making these mistakes. We have countries where who claim to have the Islamic Sharia as the law and simultaneously they permit interest-based banking. So obviously the law is not the Islamic Sharia, it is some other Sharia which they have invented, because the Islamic Sharia does not permit interest-based banking in any form. Similarly, individuals, people make this mistake, and the ones who make this mistake the most are the people in business. It's not others. It's the people in business, because to grow their business, to run their business, they end up taking interest-based loans, they find all kinds of justifications, and then their entire income is haram. Second area is in the issue of eating haram, and in the issue of eating haram is the issue of, especially of alcohol. Because today we find we have restaurants which serve alcohol and we go and eat there. We don't drink the alcohol, but we go and eat in the restaurant which serves alcohol. Or Allah has given us wealth, so we have buildings, we have real estate, and we rent it out to hotels and restaurants which serve alcohol. Now please understand very, very clearly a couple of things. First and foremost, when you ask these people, they say, no, but we have this fatwa from such and such an alim. So first of all, let me explain to you what a fatwa is. A fatwa is the word fatwa is the Arabic translation of the word opinion. A fatwa is a legal opinion of a lawyer. A fatwa is not a legal ruling. It is not the law. It is the opinion of the lawyer about the ruling. Fatwa is the opinion of the alim, of the mufti, on the hukum which is before him. So a correct fatwa must be the same as the hukum. If an alim is giving you a fatwa which is different from the hukum, then there has to be a justification, a reason for it. And the reason usually that is given is they use this term in the Sharia called zarura, something which is, in Urdu also we say zaruri hai. Now, if you take it, again, we have to look at the technical meaning of the term. The technical meaning of the term darura is something which is life-threatening, which means that something becomes darura only when, by not using that thing, you are likely to die. So, supposing you have been starving for 3 days or 4 days or 5 days or whatever, you are on the point of dying. And at that point, if somebody gives you a piece of meat which is haram, which gives you pork, this pork becomes jaiz for you to eat in that situation only to save your life. This does not mean now henceforth you can eat pork. No, it just means that that particular instant, because otherwise you would have died. And in Islam, to kill yourself or allow yourself to die is haram. So therefore, to prevent yourself from death, to use haram only for that instant and only to the extent that is required to enable you to survive. You don't eat the whole pig. One piece of pork, because it keeps you alive. That is the definition of darura. Now, unfortunately, we have people, may Allah forgive them, because if Allah does not forgive them, then on the day of judgment, not only will they be in trouble, but all those who followed them will also be in trouble. People take this ruling and then they make jaiz for the rest of your life eating of pork. I mean, I'm speaking figuratively, for the whole of your life. Now, this is playing with fire of Jahannam. So, if a person goes to a mufti who gives him this fatwa to say that interest income is okay, alcohol is okay, and all kinds of, the reason I said this today is because all kinds of interesting and creative explanations are given, you know. So, somebody said that as long as you are selling alcohol to non-Muslims, it is okay. So, I asked him, I said, if we have a party at home, and alhamdulillah, all of us have non-Muslim friends, and many of those non-Muslim friends, they drink. We know they drink. So, in my party, in my house, do you permit me, Mr. Mufti, to serve them alcohol alone? Can I have, alcohol on the side? And I say, well, Mr. So-and-so, because since you drink alcohol anyway, and you are not a Muslim, here is a drink for you. Is it permissible for me to do that? They say, no, it's haram. So, I said, it is haram for me to give a non-Muslim alcohol free. But it is permissible for me to sell it to him. I mean, this is a very peculiar argument. I cannot give it to him for free, but I can sell it to him. Or I can take the income from the sale of this alcohol. Then somebody said, no, you see, we have to differentiate. May Allah protect me from this kind of ilm. Differentiate. What is the differentiation? He said, no, up to 15% of haram income is permissible in the halal. So, 15%, as long as 85% is halal, 15% haram is permissible. So, I said, please find me this number. Where did you get the 15% from? Because as the way I understand it, my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not permit a single drop of haram. Find me one hadith, one single sahih hadith. Where Quran to hai ni, I know there is no Quran to this matter, but in the ahadith, find me one single hadith anywhere, as long as it is authentic, to say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted 15% of haram in the halal. Find me one hadith which says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted us to have 15% of alcohol as long as 85% of it was water or coke or whatever. Find me one hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted some haram inside the some halal. Then on what basis do these people who give this fatwa, on what basis do they give this fatwa? This is pure and pure shaitan. This is pure misguidance. This is pure shaitan. Nothing else. Make no mistake. If you are running a restaurant or a hotel which is serving alcohol and pork, Or which has anything else which is haram in it, believe me, you are playing with fire. That income from that hotel, from that restaurant is haram. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith narrated by none other than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that if a person eats one morsel of haram food and it becomes part of his body through digestion, then the fire of Jahannam is wajib on that body. Allah will burn that person in the hellfire. So please understand this very, very clearly.
There is no mufti in the world who can give you a ruling which goes over the hukum of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, Al-halalu bayyin wa haramu bayyin wa baynahuma mushtabihat. He said the halal is clear, the haram is clear, and between them are the doubtful things. And he said, leave the doubtful for that which is no doubt. For that in which there is no doubt. Leave the doubtful for that in which there is no doubt. So if there is a matter of doubt, do not touch it. If you do not know whether that chicken you are eating is proper, has been properly slaughtered according to the Muslim Sharia, whether it has been hand slaughtered or not, if it comes from Venkis, if it comes from Godrej, if it comes from this or that chicken factory, then it is not halal. Please understand, because the machine cut chickens are not halal. So be very, very clear about that. If you are eating Chinese food and there is monosodium glutamate, Ajinomoto, go and ask. If it is there, then that is doubtful because Ajinomoto has two sources. One is pork, the other one is a synthetic source. Since you don't know what the source of the Ajinomoto is, in any case, if not for your taqwa, then at least for your health, let me tell you that Ajinomoto is carcinogenic. It produces cancer. Therefore, do not eat that Chinese food or that food in which there is Ajinomoto, in which there is monosodium glutamate, MSG. Go and ask the cook, ask the chef, do you have MSG, monosodium glutamate, Ajinomoto in this food? And if he says, yes, it is there, don't touch it. Imagine if you were allergic to it, and many people are allergic to it, you would not eat it. So you would not eat it for the fear of your allergy. Do not eat it for the fear of Allah. Number three is alcohol. Any place, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited us from even being in the same room in which alcohol is served. You must ask these muftis who give you this fatawa. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are sahih hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not even be in the same room. Physically, do not even be present in the same room in which alcohol is being served. But it is halal to serve alcohol in your restaurant. But it is halal to take the income from this restaurant. But it is halal to rent a place to such a restaurant. What kind of brain is this which gives this fatwa? What kind of brain is this which gives this fatwa? What mufti is this? And if you follow such muftis, you will go to where that mufti is going, believe me. 15% is halal, 25% is halal, 15% of haram inside halal is halal, 15% of urine in water is halal, so drink it. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And if you think that those fatwas are going to save you from the hellfire, then good luck to you, boss. Good luck to you. Carry the paper with you. Paper burns fast. It burns fast. Carry the paper with you. Make it your wasiya to say that this paper should be put in your cover when you are buried, inside your coffin. You are eating halal, your children are eating halal. You are eating haram, your children are eating haram. If you have income like this from in anywhere. And again, and also final point, the issue of zarura. Tell me which person who has the money to start a restaurant is going to die of starvation if he does not have that income? Which person who has, Allah has given you wealth so that you have a building? People do not even, you know and I know where people, we live in a country where people are living in a house made of plastic sheets, discarded plastic sheets. Allah has given you enough money so that you have a building, you have a place, a premises, and you want to rent it to some fellow who is going to serve alcohol in there, and you take that income and you got some compliant mufti who gives you a fatwa to say this is jais, and you want to believe that? No problem, go ahead, believe it. Go ahead, believe it. And as I said, take the fatwa with you in your qabar. Please, my brothers and sisters, I mean, be very, very clear. Do not eat haram. Do not earn haram. Do not spend on haram. I don't care who disagrees with me. I am telling you, do not earn haram. If somebody disagrees with me, he is telling you, earn haram. I am telling you, don't eat haram. If somebody disagrees with me, he is telling you, eat haram. You decide what you want to do. You decide what you want to do. Don't fall into this trap. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not muhtaj. Allah is not in need that he has to feed you through haram. You make your choice. You say, Ya Allah, give me halal rizq, rizqan halalan tayyiban, and inshaAllah al-musta'an, Allah will give you, because what has been written for you has already been written for you. Your choice is only to pick from where you want it. You want it from a halal source, Allah will give you. You choose a haram source, Allah will open that door also for you. Because that is the choice that has been given to you. The quantum of it has already been written. Umm Habiba radiallahu anha, our mother, the wife, the daughter of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, she made dua and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam overheard her dua. She said, Oh Allah, give my husband Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a long life. Give my father Abu Sufyan a long life. Give my brother Muawiyah a long life so that I can enjoy their company and so that they can be with me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ajib, you are making a dua about something which has already been written and the risk has already been distributed, and you are saying, Allah, give them a long life and so on. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it would have been better for you if you had made dua to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive your sins and to save you from the hellfire. She makes dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should have a long life, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam objected to that. And he says, what is the use of making the dua like this? Because Allah has already written what he has to write. And Allah has already given the provision what he has to give. Instead of that, make dua for your own safety and for your own protection from the hellfire. And we are worried about our rizq. What is the quantum of your rizq has been written for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the choice he gave us is to take it from the halal source. And he also left the door of haram open, because if somebody wants it, Allah is not going to prevent him. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. You want to deny, deny. So my advice to myself and my warning to myself and my reminder to myself and you is, please do not fall into this trap. Do not fall into the trap of shaitan. Earn halal, eat halal. If you have already fallen into this trap because you did not know, may Allah forgive you. But get out of it now. Get out of it now. Do not go to bed tonight without cancelling that lease, without cancelling that account, without taking out that money, without breaking all those bottles of alcohol wherever they are sitting, without throwing all those doubtful chickens that you have got in your freezer into the garbage. Do not eat haram and do not earn haram. I have said what I have to say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my witness. Whether to agree or not agree, to believe or not believe, to do or not do is your choice, and that choice rests with you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to him and to save us from the hellfire and to save us from doing those things which are harmful to us and to do only that which is pleasing to Allah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.